Barstool Sports brings you Storyboards, a new docuseries featuring full-length podcast productions about the most iconic figures in sports and pop culture. Presented by SeatGeek without commercial interruption, this is The Garden is Burning, Fire James Dolan. For all your ticket needs, download the free SeatGeek app now and use the promo code STORYBOARDS at checkout for $20 back after your first ticket purchase. Thanks to SeatGeek for making this happen.
Yeah, yeah. And yo, Black, it's time.
Word.
Bird's timing. It's time, man.
Alright,
begin. Yeah. Straight out the fucking dungeons of rap. Where fake niggas don't make it back. I don't know how to start this.
There's a term in the world of sports blogging that gets thrown around all too often. It's overly used, it's often hyperbole, and it becomes cliche. The phrase is dumpster fire. People use it as a joke. It's symbolic imagery. It gets thrown around for any old bad team. But when you talk about the New York Knicks of the last 15 years, there is no term more appropriate than dumpster fire. The Knicks are a Manhattan dumpster filled with the worst, smelliest, worthless garbage this city has to offer, set ablaze, forever burning. It burns white hot as the sun, and about once a year, the front office throws a thimble of water on it in an effort to extinguish this goddamn inferno of shitty basketball. It will burn on in perpetuity until you remove one element of the firestorm. James Dolan.
Who is the worst owner in the National Basketball Association?
The answer right now is James Dolan. The Knicks are just appallingly horrific. There is no hope. There hasn't been hope.
This guy is just, I mean, they do not like him in New York, and they say they, I mean,
why
me.
Not?
And this guy jacks up prices so that no normal person can go to a Rangers or a Knicks game. Yeah. You can't have cable vision because there's issues with that all the time. And then now you've got this. And
what happened between Dolan and the fan? What did you think of that? Do you think he gets unfairly blamed for all the Knicks problems?
You know,
I mean, he's one of the owners.
He's the owner. Fans are entitled to their opinions. Right. And over time, it's fair to judge management.
Now, to truly understand the decline of the Knicks, you got to go back to what they used to be. And to truly understand the disgrace that is James Dolan, you got to go back to what he is at his core. So first, we'll start with the Knicks.
We are the New York Knicks.
Knicks basketball is a conundrum. It's hard to explain the Knicks to non-Knicks fans. Because New York is widely regarded as the mecca of basketball. Madison Square Garden is the world's greatest arena. And yet, when you look up to the rafters, you only see two basketball banners that really matter. 1970, 1973, that's it. That absolutely pales in comparison to the Dynasty Celtics. Can't hold a candle to the Lakers. And if you want to talk about the modern era, the Spurs blow them out of the water. So to be blunt, as a franchise measured by championships and winning, the Knicks are a joke compared to those teams, plain and simple. But to any Knicks fan my age, I'm born in 1985, the Knicks franchise and our fanhood wasn't defined by championships. Which, trust me, I realize how lame that sounds. It's a loser's mentality, I know, I understand, I admit it. But I do think there's more than one way to measure a team, particularly in the Jordan era, when championships weren't exactly distributed fairly around the league. Because when I look back on the early 90s and late 90s Knicks, I remember them with a fondness. Not because of NBA titles, but because of how much they went to war every time they played. Every night, if a team came into the Garden, they had to earn it. It was a battle. It was a street fight. The Knicks didn't have just rivalries. They had blood feuds, figuratively and oftentimes quite literally.
Barkley on the recovery, stopped by Ewing, and then put on the floor by Oakley, and Barkley goes at Oakley. Oakley missed with a swing. Barkley tried to go back at him. And they're separated.
Think about Charlie Ward being body slammed by P.J. Brown.
P.J. Brown throws Charlie Ward. Watch out. This one's going to get really ugly.
Or the Chris Childs two-piece with Kobe Bryant.
And Chris Childs punched him twice. And Kobe is hot.
John Starks headbutting Reggie Miller. Or Pat Ewing and the whole team scrapping with the Bulls in the playoffs. I mean, shit, half the time, Knicks versus Heat in the postseason should have just been decided by a brawl. Forget about basketball. Just meet on the hardwood, meet at midcourt, 5-on-5, bare knuckles, winner takes all. And the city loved that. Because as much as New York is personified as the epicenter of business and money, the foundation of New York is built on people grinding in the rat race, commuting on crowded trains and dirty buses, being pissed off about how expensive everything is, living in a city that back then was even dirtier than this pile of shit is today. to be cliche about it, you could say that those people in that era were New York tough. And the Knicks personified that same toughness. It was truly a match made in heaven between the team and the fans. Because as a Knicks fan, we were basically like Jeff Van Gundy in the middle of that Knicks versus Heat dog pile, holding on to Alonzo Mourning's leg. Every game, every postseason series, every matchup with the Bulls, the Pacers, the Heat, it was a war, and the fans were right there with them. To this day, I can still remember the superstitions me and my brother had watching those Knicks teams. We had assigned seats, same spot on the couch, same recliner. We had uniforms, certain T-shirts we had to wear, and we had Knicks playoff gear that we tied around our heads. And for some reason, we always had to eat chips with homemade sour cream and onion dip. I don't know why, but that was our routine. That was our ritual. And we invited everyone over to our house, which meant Mets fans, Yankees fans, Jets fans, Giants fans, Rangers fans, Islanders fans. All those fans alike came together and united for the common cause, which was Knicks basketball. And that's the other X factor when you try to explain the Knicks to non-New Yorkers. In a city so divided, the Knicks are the only team we can all get behind. Ordinarily, no matter what baseball, football, or hockey team wins, about 50% of the city is going to be angry about it. Knicks basketball is the only thing that we can unite for. And when we do, it's unlike anything else in New York sports. Truly. It's unlike anything. Yankees World Series, Giants Super Bowls, when the Mets finally get hot, nothing compares to New York basketball. It devours this city because at its heart, New York is a basketball city. From the blacktop of Rucker Park down to the cage on West 4th to the glossy hardwood of MSG, it's got basketball running through its veins. The mecca of basketball is not because of NBA titles. It's because of a pervasive love of the sport. I'm talking professional and non-professional. From guys like Lou Alcindor, Chris Mullin, and Bob Cousy, Hall of Fame pros, down to streetball legends, Earl the Goat Manigault snatching quarters off the top of the backboard at the park. The city is deeply, deeply rich with basketball history.
The pressure playing at St. John's, was it surreal for you? Or was it at the first moment when you stepped onto the court for the first game? How was that moment?
I mean, it was amazing. I mean, I grew up watching St. John's. My neighborhood kid, I was from Queens. So just being able to just go out there and play in New York and play at home, I mean, it was a crazy feeling. I mean, when you got all the media and all the pressure from just being in New York, I mean, it was amazing.
And so there's an inherent appreciation for the game. An inherent appreciation for the guys who play their hearts out for it. And that's what those 90s Knicks were. We won a bunch, lost a bunch. Never got over the hump thanks to a guy named Jordan and a dude that was so silky smooth they called him the Dream. But as a fan of hard-nosed basketball, as a fan of the actual sport, it didn't get any better than what those Knicks teams were to the Garden faithful. Don't get me wrong. When the Knicks did come up short, it was a heartbreaker. Their most epic failures can be described in one-liners, almost like the titles of Seinfeld episodes. The Charles Smith game. The 2-for-18. The Reggie Miller game, a.k.a. the choke. The Reggie Miller game part 2, a.k.a. the choke part 2. The finger roll. The Charlie Ward flip. The suspension games. Even down to their last win in the 94 finals, they were upstaged by the O.J. chase. But the flip side, when they came up big, it was electric. An Allen Houston runner as the 8th seed. Or a Larry Johnson 4-point play. They were up, they were down, but they were never incompetent. That is, until one man showed up. In 1999, that Ewok-looking motherfucker, James Dolan, usurped power from his old man, Charles. And so you can see that quite literally from the second he arrived as the controlling power over Cablevision, the Knicks, and the Garden, everything went to shit. From the minute he arrived in 1999 to right now in 2017, James Dolan has been a cancer, engulfing this franchise with his insecure, uninformed, greed-driven bullshit nonsense.
Dolan sucks! Dolan sucks! Dolan sucks! Dolan!
Dolan! We're watching you!
Where do you start with James Dolan? The first problem with James Dolan, his last name. He's a Dolan. He's the son of Charles. And as we've seen in this town, when someone inherits daddy's hard work, everything goes to shit. Exhibit A, Hal and Hank Steinbrenner taking Georgia's throne. Exhibit B, that sniveling rat fuck Jeff Wilpon taking over for his old man Fred. When the fortune created by the hard work and the smarts of the father simply falls into the lap of the son, you're doomed. James Dolan is a thin-skinned, insecure, spoiled brat, and in the world of New York sports, that is never going to fly. Now, don't get me wrong. Over the last 17, 18 years, there is plenty of blame to go around for the New York Knicks. We'll get into a couple of those characters. But a shit dynasty of this magnitude, a reign of terror that spans nearly two decades, that the true blame can only be placed on whoever sits at the top. Listen to this. From the year 2000 to 2015, the Knicks spent approximately $1.3 billion. That's resulted in 513 wins total over the course of 15 years. That's $2.6 million goddamn dollars per win, which is the worst dollar-to-win ratio in all of professional sports for that time period. The James Dolan run Knicks are legit the worst thing in all of sports. For comparison's sake, the Spurs won five NBA titles in that same time period, and they spent just $940 million. That comes out to just $700,000 per win. So as the owner of a sports franchise, that's the nuts and bolts of it all, managing the business of the franchise and maximizing the wins. And so really, you could end this debate right here. James Dolan, by definition of what you're supposed to do as an owner, is the worst in all of sports. But it goes so much deeper than that. So much deeper than just money and basketball losses.
My next guests are looking forward to playing their own shows in Ireland this weekend. They flew in a day early to be with us tonight, and we're delighted to hear their particular blend of American blues with the new single, Better Find a Church. Would you welcome, please, JD and The Straight Shot?
From paranoia to PR fiascos, James Dolan is more than just incompetent. He's an embarrassment. Jimmy Dolan doesn't even give a fuck about basketball. At his core, he's a music guy. He's got a shitty band, JD and the Straight Shots. That comes number one in his life. He cares more about his band than his basketball team. I will never, ever forget when James Dolan went on Good Day New York and played his kazoo for Rosanna Scotto. It's a clip that will live in internet infamy. It's a clip that will live in Knicks basketball infamy. James Dolan in an Indiana Jones hat playing a kazoo and dancing around. And at that moment, long after I should have already known, that's when I finally said the Knicks will never win again until this man is dead. Because he cares more about fucking kazoos than basketball. A direct quote from him when he introduced Phil Jackson as president. Quote, I am by no means a basketball expert, so I'm a little bit out of my element when it comes to the team. What? James, what? And despite that indifference and lack of knowledge, James Dolan has done nothing but meddle with this team over the last two decades. There's been a laundry list of laughable decisions, but you don't need to look any further than Dolan's bizarre obsession with Isaiah Thomas.
Well, what happened with Isaiah Thomas is very simply that he's close with the owner, James Dolan, the new president who replaced him, Donnie Walsh. He's close with Donnie Walsh. And I think they both said, listen, we're not going to totally get you out of the organization.
When no other team in the world would touch Isaiah Thomas with a 10-foot pole, James Dolan goes and makes him president of basketball operations. Eventually, he gives him complete control after firing Larry Brown and appointing Isaiah head coach. And then, in the middle of Isaiah Thomas's sexual harassment lawsuit, which the Knicks went on to lose, Dolan offers Isaiah Thomas an extension. And then, when it was clear to even Dolan that Isaiah Thomas couldn't survive in the NBA, James Dolan names him Coach of the Liberty. The man who just torpedoed the Knicks franchise to the depths of which they still haven't recovered. The man who just lost an $11.6 million lawsuit for calling a woman a black bitch. James Dolan decides is fit to run a WNBA franchise. It got to the point where the only rational explanation for James Dolan and Isaiah Thomas was that they were dating. Or there was like some sort of relationship or some sort of blackmail that had been going on because there was no financial or basketball logic that could explain James Dolan's obsession. So you couple that with firing Larry Brown after just one season, firing Lenny Wilkins after just two, Don Chaney after just two, the Knicks management situation under James Dolan was a fucking nightmare. And nothing was worse than when he forced Donnie Walsh out the door. Donnie Walsh came in and cleaned up the entire Isaiah Thomas disaster, which is something I didn't know was humanly possible. That's a feat that I didn't think any man could accomplish. Donnie Walsh did it. He cleared up all this cap space in the world for LeBron James or another high-profile free agent, which, of course, neither LeBron nor the truly elite players would ever play under Dolan, so the Knicks had to settle for Amari. But just when it appeared that the Knicks had a team president that actually understood how to spend the money and build the team, James Dolan strikes. Donnie Walsh was on the record saying, I want it to come back. Dolan, of course, called it a, quote, mutual parting of ways. Yeah, sure, sure, dude. That's how every breakup goes, right? You and your ex-girlfriend, it was all mutual, sure. And so after the Donnie Walsh disaster, it was right back to the Knicks' old ways, back to horrific acquisitions, signing once effective players well beyond their prime, basically trying to put a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. Up until right now, they're still doing it. Their most recent disasters, Derrick Rose after 1,000 knee surgeries, which I'm sure they'll give him an extension of some sort. Joakim Noah on the wrong side of 30, also with horrible knees. But if you run through the history of washed up and shitty players the Knicks have signed, it's absolutely staggering. Listen to this list. A 30-year-old Tracy McGrady for a first-round pick. A 32-year-old Penny Hardaway who played like 50 games total over the course of a million seasons. They traded for Antonio I Have No Back McDice, giving up Marcus Camby and Nene. You had fat fucking Jerome James putting up 5-2 for like $30 million. You had even fatter Mike Sweetney with a first-round pick. And the fucking fattest Eddie Curry hitting 300 pounds while playing a total of 10 games despite trading a shit ton of players for him and a shit ton of first-round picks that ended up being guys like LaMarcus Aldridge and a young Joakim Noah. They went on to sign Steve Francis when it looked like he started to have AIDS. They traded for Stephon Marbury right before he started eating Vaseline. Signed a 34-year-old Jalen Rose. The list goes on and on and on. You couple all that stuff with the draft picks of guys like Ronaldo Balkman, Jordan Hill, Frederick, Vince Carter put his dick in my face, Weiss.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Mychek Lampe, and you're looking at a resume of masterful incompetence. I mean, Carmelo has a career record of like 70 games under 500 as a New York Knick, and it's considered one of the best moves they've made in years. It's madness. It's money poorly spent, it's poor decisions, and it all spans different coaches and GMs. There's only one constant, and that's James Dolan. So let's see, on top of not knowing the sport, not knowing how to manage money, not knowing how to evaluate talent, what else do we got? What else is there for James Dolan? How about feuding with the New York media? Because that's always a good idea, huh? Dolan is notorious for shutting out the media to a bizarre, paranoid extent. He's the worst owner in all of sports, and he's maybe done press conferences a total of like 5 times. During his entire tenure, you could probably count on one hand how many times he's done an official press conference. There is zero accountability and zero transparency. Anyone in the media who criticizes the Knicks, you're either fired or blackballed from covering the team. Only MSG yes men are granted access to one-on-one interviews. And for fuck's sake, apparently he places spies throughout the locker room. Frank Isola said that they would place spies to shadow beat reporters as they tried to do their jobs. These are direct quotes from the New York media members. Mike Vaccaro from the New York Post said, "It's the gulag." When you are comparing a NBA basketball team to a USSR Russia internment camp, Stalin's forced labor camp, you know you got a problem. Howard Beck from the New York Times said, "I'll admit it, working that beat makes me miserable. It's making humans miserable to just be around the New York Knicks." And my favorite quote of all from Alan Hahn, comparing the Knicks to the Jets. Now, I don't know what year this was. It's some year where the Jets sucked too. But Alan said, "Take the Jets, who now sit at a relentlessly unremarkable 2-9 after Thursday's brutalization in Dallas. They don't inspire much of anything within the souls of their fans. They're just bad. But the Knicks, they inspire something else. They inspire anger. They inspire hatred. There is an unmitigated loathing for this team, for the men who run the operation. Knicks fans hate these Knicks. They hate them." Which is the perfect combination of feuding with the media and the fans. The only fight more futile than the New York media is trying to fight the New York fans. And nothing encapsulated James Dolan's relationship with the fans better than in 2015 when a fan wrote him a handwritten letter and James Dolan took the time to respond to him.
"What happened between Dolan and the fan? What did you think of that?" My impression is that you just said, let's not.
You know,
you weren't alarmed by the fact that Dolan unloaded on a fan who unloaded on him.
I wasn't so alarmed. I say, look, I wouldn't have responded to, I don't respond to my emails that way, and I've gotten a lot worse emails than that one that Jim got, so yeah. It's not the preferred form of communication in this league.
The letter read, At one stage, I thought you did a wonderful thing when you acquired everything from your dad. However, since then, it's been all downhill. You're working with Isaiah Thomas and everything else regarding the Knicks. Bringing on Phil Jackson was a positive beginning, but lowballing Steve Kerr was a disgrace to the Knicks. The bottom line is you merely continue to interfere with the franchise. As a Knicks fan for in excess of over 60 years, I am utterly embarrassed by your dealings with the Knicks. Sell them so their fans can at least look forward to growing in a positive direction. Obviously, money is not the only thing. You have done a lot of utterly stupid business things with the franchise. Please no more. Respectfully, Mr. Bierman. And so James Dolan, a billionaire owner of a sports franchise, the most famous arena in the world, and a cable network, decides it's a good idea to pen his own letter responding to this fan of 60 years simply venting his frustration with the team losing. And what did Dolan say? You are a sad person. Why would you write such a hateful letter? I am just guessing, but I'll bet your life is a mess and you are a hateful mess. What have you done that anyone would consider positive or nice? I am betting nothing. In fact, I'll bet you're a negative force in everyone who comes in contact with you. You most likely have made your family miserable. Alcoholic, maybe. I just celebrated my 21-year anniversary of sobriety. You should try it. Maybe it will help you when you become a person that folks would like to have around. In the meanwhile, start rooting for the Nets because the Knicks don't want you. It reads like a Trump letter. You're a sad person. A hateful mess. Alcoholic, maybe. To a lifelong Knicks fan who simply just wants to see the team turned around. The Knicks don't want you, James. Get it through your thick Ewok skull. You're the problem. So let's see. Media hates you. Check. Fans hate you. Check. What's left? How about alienating the lifelong members of the franchise who once made the team great? Marv Albert was the play-by-play voice of the Knicks for 30 years.
11 to 9, 10 seconds to go. Ward with a pass tipped but handled by Johnson. Johnson is three-point territory but guarded tightly. Johnson cuts left. Now fires a three. It is good! And he's fouled! It counts! And he is fouled! Laurie Johnson looking for the lead. The free throw is good!
3 decades calling this team. Yes! 4-3! Fired. Drop of a hat for being too critical of the team. The dude who's paid to talk about basketball, to talk about the team he's covering, fired for simply being critical of an absolutely garbage product. Patrick Ewing shopped around at the end of his 15-year career like he was nothing more than trade bait. Shipped off to Seattle like he was a nobody. That's a guy who deserved to retire in orange and blue in New York. Now he's desperate to get in the coaching game, and the Knicks won't even give him an interview of any sort. Assistant coaching or some specialist of some sort, consultant, nothing. The Knicks won't even talk to Patrick Ewing. It's crazy. And then, of course, most recently, ejecting and arresting Charles Oakley at a goddamn Knicks game in Madison Square Garden.
You know what I was going to ask you? Did you see the circumstance the other night with Oak in the Garden, man?
Yeah.
Unfortunate, man.
I mean, Oakley is, I mean...
First off, he's a classic Knick. You can't talk about Patrick Ewing without not talking about Charles Oakley.
I mean, Oakley is Oakley. I mean, right. To those people who actually physically really know Oakley,
right.
You know his temperament, you know how he is. Yeah. He's cool. He's not really that excitable. I was really shocked to see it unfold that way.
Charles Oakley, the guy who personified all that passion and fight that I described, one of the rocks of the franchise the last time they actually competed, treated like a goddamn criminal in the place he used to call home. Ejected, cuffed, and arrested by like 9 security guards in a public display that was an embarrassment for everybody involved. And then the icing on the cake, Knicks PR releases a statement insinuating that Charles Oakley is an alcoholic or suffers from some sort of mental illness, acting as if a Knicks legend was some sort of homeless nut sitting outside of Penn Station. Dolan sat just a few seats away as his Gestapo goons attempted to manhandle Oak. And it's truly, I believe, James Dolan's most tone-deaf moment, and that's saying a lot. The Charles Oakley incident felt like a James Dolan tipping point. It's a tipping point that probably should have arrived about 10 years earlier, but there was never that one single spark. The Knicks had basically been death by 1,000 embarrassing paper cuts. But there was never a single moment like the Charles Oakley ejection that rallied the fans together. Everyone chanting together, free Oakley, fire Dolan. Like I said, when this team finally does unite, they are a force to be reckoned with. And that's what Oaktree did. He mistakenly, by accident, became the face of a Knicks fan revolution. I jokingly referred to the Knicks of the last 15 years as the powder keg of Europe. And the Charles Oakley ejection was our assassination of Archduke Ferdinand. It's what finally sparked that war. It was the moment where we finally declared war on James Dolan and his bullshit. Truth be told, I hadn't been a true diehard Knicks fan in over a decade. The stupidity, the futility, and the embarrassment of the 2000s was enough to make me, and really some of the most committed Knicks fans, lose interest. But I'd always keep an eye on them. When Melo and the gang put up 54 wins, went back to the playoffs, I got sucked right back in. Anytime they put a winning product on the floor, like I said, New York will buzz. But that's the real kick in the dick. James Dolan, the worst owner slash worst human on the face of the earth, owns the most bulletproof entity in the sport. The Knicks are valued at $3 billion, most valuable franchise in the league. And no matter what happens, people are going to pay top dollar to go watch a professional basketball game in the heart of Manhattan. The location, it's perfect. It's just like when you go to see a concert. It's a social outing, and it will never stop, which is the ultimate irony at the same time. Because if there's one owner and one franchise in all of sports that can afford to tear it down and truly rebuild, it's James Dolan and the Knicks. Over the last 15 years, they probably could have rebuilt like three times. They could have operated like the 76ers, and they still would have sold out every night. Instead, James Dolan is obsessed with washed-up stars and half measures while he just prints his money from his mint on 31st and 7th. The bottom line is this, folks. The New York Knicks will never win a title until James Dolan is dead. It's not being morbid. It's just being truthful. He's never going to sell the team. In an ultimate twist of irony, the Phil Jackson debacle is the biggest problem this franchise faces right now. The Phil Jackson experiment has not worked. And the guy who we complained about meddling with the franchise for 15 years has now decided to be hands-off. He went on the Michael Kay Show and said, hey, ask Phil. What's the problem with the Knicks? Ask Phil. You wanted him? You wanted me out of their business? You got it. And now we need someone to step in and admit that the Phil Jackson experiment is not working. Admit that he doesn't know what it's going to take to build this team up long-term. It's the life of a tortured Knicks fan. Somehow, some way, right now, what we need is James Dolan to interfere. And that, my friends, is the most scary, fucked up thought I've ever experienced as a fan. It's coming. That's a lot coming from me. Bottom line, the New York Knicks will never win another title until James Dolan is dead. Fake niggas don't make it back. I don't know how to start this. Rappers are monkey flipping with the funky rhythm. I be kicking, musician, inflicting composition of pain. I'm like Scarface sniffing cocaine, holding an M16. See with the pen, I'm extreme. Now bullet holes left in my peak holes. I'm suited up with street clothes. Hand me a 9 and out the beat flows. Y'all know my steel.